The hits literally keep on coming from one boxing match to the next. They grow in anticipation, and this weekend is no different with two of the sport's most respected fighters stepping into the ring Saturday night. There's no better place to get in on the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering new users a shot at turning $1 into $55. To celebrate this weekend's huge event, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering new users an opportunity to get 55-1 odds on either main event fighter winning this weekend's fight. That's $1, and if the fighter of your choice wins, you get $55. Plus, with basketball and hockey playoffs right around the corner, giddy up. DraftKings Sportsbook has more ways than ever for you to make it rain. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, meaning you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up for a limited time only. All new users can bet $1 to win $55 on this weekend's main event. That's right, DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out for new users by offering them the chance to win $55 when placing a bet of $1 on this weekend's big fight. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, and Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Grit and Barrett Podcast, a podcast devoted to the 11-time Calder Cup champion, the Hershey Bears. We talk Hershey Bears, the American Hockey League, and all the hockey news that matters to me. This is high energy, unfiltered, and at times unfocused hockey talk from a hack. And now, on with the show. Hello and welcome to the Grit and Barrett Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday, May 3rd, 2021. Hershey Bears hockey in the month of May. It's a beautiful thing. So welcome to, well, this week's edition of the Grit and Barrett Podcast is actually a sort of special episode. Now, I know, the Bears played a three-game set over this past week. Friday night, they were in Binghamton. Saturday, they were in Wilkes-Barre. And Sunday, they were back home to take on the Phantoms. And as much as all of you are probably wanting to hear what my thoughts on the games were and give you my own unique takes and breakdowns on the said game, I'm sadly going to have to disappoint all of you this time. I know, all eight of you. No, I kid. But we're not going to do recaps today. I'm actually going to do another episode later this week, probably on Thursday or Friday, to where I'll cover the past four games. We have another one on Wednesday versus Binghamton. We will get to that, I promise you, everyone. But you see, I was able to finally talk to a special guest that we are going to have on this week. He is a former Hershey Bear. He's the first hockey player I've had to come on this show, and he is Carl Alsner, former Hershey Bear, former Washington Capital, Calgary Hitmen, and Montreal Canadien, or as they say up there in Canada, Les Inhabitants de Montreal. And first off, I'd like to thank Carl for coming on and talking to me, you know, to a hack, no less. And I just threw out the invitation to him, like, hey, would you like to come on and talk? And he was like, yeah, sure, why not? I'll come on. I love talking about Hershey. A baking powder? You, talking to me. Okay. Ha. So we're going to have that interview up here in a little bit. It was a nice, good conversation out of him. And I think that's what the majority of the podcast is. So for all of you Bears Nation, you're going to be able to catch up and hear Carl Alsner. The audio quality is not the best. I don't have StreamYard running up and running as of yet. And so this was through my phone. The first part was trying to work out, but once I was able to get the phone up to the microphone, I think the volume is coming off quite well. So we're going to have Carl Alsner on here in a second. We're going to run this week's podcast promo. It is actually, we're going to go out to the city of Chicago for this one, out there in the Windy City, and then we'll get to Carl Alsner. Thank you again to Carl for coming on, and all of you for your likes, listens, and downloads, and we'll catch you on the other side.
What's up, everybody? It's Jaren from the Hockey Podcast Network's newest show, the Windy City Benders Podcast. My co-host Tanner and I bring our unique takes on Blackhawks hockey.
Us on the show have been a pro Carlton guy. He's the right coach for the situation.
Giving it to our rivals.
That's one of the things that kind of sucks. I wish we would have had the Blues in our division this year because our trash.
As well as bringing in some guests from the NHL.
Please welcome to the show, goaltender Scott Darling.
The Eagle himself, Ed Belfour.
Brian Bickle.
David Boland.
Letterkenny.
The show started out with basically a beer league hockey team.
And anybody who loves the game. Find us on all your favorite podcast apps, the Hockey Podcast Network website, and on social media at WCB Podcasts.
Alrighty, everyone. Welcome to the Grit and Barrett podcast for this week. And this is a special episode, as you know, I can't believe that we actually have a guest, very special guest on the air this week. He is, as I've teased, he's a former Hershey Bear, spent 2 years with the organization, former Washington Capital, former Calgary Hitmen as well. And, you know, just all around great guy as well. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Carl Alsner, by way of Canada. Carl, welcome to the show, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. This is awesome. I'm glad to be on and, you know, dipping my feet into the podcast world. It's super fun for me. So this is my pleasure. We had a great time at Hershey, and I'd love to share some memories and just chit-chat about it.
Of course, man. You know, there's a lot of the fan base that always will remember those who are part of the proverbial brotherhood, as I call it. So just let Bears fans know, Leo, what's Carl Alsner been up to lately?
Well, it's been an interesting year for everybody, and mine is probably no different. So just kind of at the end of my last season, so it would have been last year, I decided not to go back to that return to play that they had for the playoffs, the play-in rounds and all that with Montreal. I wasn't really playing a ton with the team at the time, and, you know, there was a lot of unknowns with the virus at that point. So I just didn't feel comfortable going. Plus, I didn't want to leave my family for, you know, who knows how long it was going to be. Back here, my wife and three young kids too. So it was just not good timing for me personally. So decided not to go. And we've been hanging out here, had a great summer here and rolled that into fall and winter. Got a lot of skiing in with the kids, which is one of the downsides of playing. You don't really get to do a whole lot of those winter sports, like skiing for schedule concerns and danger concerns. So it's something that I missed out a ton on. And so it was pretty sweet. My daughter, she's six, so she was flying down the hill by the end of it. And same thing with my son, who's four. So it was a blast. And now we're actually doing some, I'm trying my hand out at being a little bit more of a handyman. And we're doing some renovations on the house ourselves, me and my wife, Mandy, and then her dad. So that's been fun too. But we're getting good weather now, so getting geared back up for summer and just trying to be present, you know, be a dad, be around, do a few more things that I just haven't been able to do over the years. So it's been fun.
You got to get those points for Father of the Year wherever you can.
Exactly. So, I'm always trying to.
Awesome. Good. Good to hear. If you don't mind me asking, have the kids shown an interest in hockey as well, or have they, you know, taken a liking to skiing or other sports?
So as far as hockey goes, I would say medium. My daughter, not really that interested in it right now. She comes in every now and then and will whack a ball around, and she gets a little aggressive and feisty, which is fun to see. My middle son, Anson, he likes it. He's not, I wouldn't say it's his favorite sport right now. I'd say golf is his favorite sport. So he likes to play that a little bit more, but he's good. He's coordinated. He knows how to shoot. He knows how to pass. But he's putting together skating and playing at the same time. He's just not quite there yet, confidence wise. And then my little guy, his name's Bennett. He's two, and he seems to be the most interested in hockey. So I'll take him to the ball hockey court here, and we'll just pass half an hour, just pass back and forth. He loves it, and he definitely has a different draw towards it than both the other two did at that age. So I think that's kind of interesting. So we'll see if that blossoms. But if I were to push them towards any sport, it would be, I'd be pushing them towards golf, because I'd have my perfect foursome right there. But we'll see what they decide to do. I'm not married to the idea of them playing hockey, but it would be cool if they did.
Excellent, good to hear. So let's go back to your time when you just came into the league with the Hershey Bears. I think in 08-09 was, I think, around your first season with Hershey. What was it like to come out of the juniors, out of the Calgary Hitmen, and then come into a place like Hershey, where you have this fan base that is just as passionate, as I would say, as almost any NHL team, in a facility that, you know, is kind of like an NHL arena? Was it a big step up as to what you were expecting coming into, you know, minor league hockey?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I could tell you the whole story about everything. It would take me forever to tell you, but I'll try and breeze through it a little bit. So I was lucky, coming from Calgary, playing for the Hitmen, that we got to play in the Saddledome, an NHL building.
Right.
It was top notch from the day I started my hockey career. I was pretty fortunate. And then coming into Washington, I had a good training camp. I was really happy with the way things had gone. And then watching things play out, I was just like, I was looking at camp and I'm like, well, I'm the last defenseman here besides the returning guys. And they usually take 7D. I'm like, holy smokes, I think I made this team. Like, me and Chris Bork were talking to each other about it. And our last exhibition game, I think he had a goal and assist, or two goals, and I had two assists. And we're in the car after, like, man, we did it. We made this team. Can you believe it? This is sweet. And so we get to the rink the next day. We're all fired up to go on a team building exercise. It was paintball. And they called me and Borky into the coach's office. And so we didn't know if it was like, congratulations, like, here, go get a place kind of thing, or what. And so he calls me in. I talk to Bruce, and Bruce is like, and George, they're like, look, I mean, we're really sorry. We think you deserve to be on the team, but we don't have any cap space, and we're going to go with 6D to start the year. And I was just like, oh, what? Like, seriously? I told my parents that I thought I did it, and this is going to be awesome, all this stuff. And pretty much the exact same thing happened to Borky. And so, to be honest, we're in the car to Hershey, and I'm thinking, like, man, like, I had my thoughts were in the NHL. You know, I'm like, I did it. That's where my head was at.
Yeah.
So at first I was just kind of shot down a little bit. And then Borky was telling me, you know, what Hershey is like, and explaining to me, you know, like, if you're going to be in the minors, like, this is the place to be. Like, you just wait till you see some of these other places that we're going to go and play.
Oh, yes.
Versus what you have. And so Borky ended up being my roommate, which was great. Taught me so much over that first year. And then walking into the dressing room and seeing the rink, I was like, whoa, like, this is okay. This is nice. I can get used to this.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally getting to see the fans fill into the building and seeing my first jersey auction, being a part of that. And that right there just shows you how into it the fans are. When you can fetch that kind of money for jerseys.
Oh, yes.
It was just like, okay, like, if this is where I'm going to land, like, this is, this is a good place to be, because after going to, you know, Binghamton and some of these other places, I was very thankful that I was there. And then getting to figure out the city too. I mean, it's not a huge city, but there's lots of places that are close. And yeah. And it in the end, it made our team so much tighter because we were that close to each other. We all lived in the same area. So it was just, I mean, to this day, probably the tightest teams I've played on. We had some really good ones in Washington as well, but with how much time we actually spent together, because there weren't that many guys with kids on the team at the time. Brian Helmer, I think, was the only one my first year. And so we just, it was natural to all hang out together. So it was a great landing spot. I mean, it's a long bit of a long-winded story, but you know, there were some serious emotions going up and down there. And, you know, the first few days I was there, obviously I was still thinking like, man, I still think I should be in the NHL right now. I'm young and dumb. I'm 20 years old. I don't actually know what it takes at this point.
Right.
And so it was tough emotionally the first few days, but as we got into it, I saw how good our team was and how much fun we had. Everything just became so much easier.
Yeah, that's, I personally love hearing stories like that where you see where a player, it starts out and how training camp goes, and hearing team building exercises. Like, I didn't know, like, paintball's one of them. When I think team building exercises, I think like, okay, everybody on the ice, what's your name, what do you like, and like, yeah, tell us something weird about yourself. I never think like, all right, time for team building, let's go shoot each other with paintballs.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what, the whole point behind it is to create some sort of memory, right?
And then exactly,
that's something that you take to the next week or month where you talk about it with someone. And then, you know, someone who I don't know, you know, a Tom Pody, I yeah, can go up to him and be like, oh man, remember when I shot you in the back, you know, we played paintball, and then conversation starts. So
exactly,
that, I just find that just goes so much further than just something more standard. So that was always really fun. And I mean, it took me probably 4 or 5 years to get over the fact that I missed that day of paintballing. That's how bad I wanted to go to it. So it's kind of funny that as the years go on, sometimes they get a little bit repetitive, but especially those first few ones, you're just kind of like, you're all ears. You just want to be a part of the action.
Exactly. Yeah. So, playing wise, who was one of your favorite defensemen to be paired up with on the ice, and why is it John Carlson?
Well, yeah, so, I mean, it was kind of a natural fit for me and Carly to be paired together. The first year I played a little bit with a lot of different guys. Yeah, I played with Sean Morrison. I played with Milan Yurchina. We just kind of rotated, did whatever the team needed at the time. And then, yeah, it was just a natural fit, me and Carly, after that. Lefty, righty, young guys, two different contrasting styles. So it was a good fit that way. And I think because we were both young and experiencing everything for the first time and didn't really realize, you know, how hard the NHL is, that you don't just come in as a 20-year-old and 21-year-old and play together in this league. And so we just would go out there and play, you know. It wasn't
right,
like it wasn't like it was an untouchable league. It was like, yeah, we're just going out there having fun playing.
Exactly.
And that's probably why it worked. But also at the same time, like, we had some times where we struggled, where maybe it would have been nice to have to split us up and have a veteran with each guy, so that we could learn different parts of the game. Because although you talk to your teammates and your decor and all that, you talk a little bit more to your D partner, and you go through scenarios that you know, but we knew way less than, you know, Brian Pothe or Tom Pody or Sean Morrison, those guys. So
right,
it was just, you know, it was a ton of fun playing together, but yeah, we definitely had some ups and downs.
Currently on this current Hershey squad, they have Matt Molson, who seems to be this veteran that's this glue of the group that really brings this team together and really teaches the kids, and like saying, this is how you handle the media and this is how you play on the ice.
Who was that guy in Hershey during your time? Was it Brian Helmer or was it somebody else?
It was Brian, yeah. No, he was the guy. I mean, we were lucky that we had a lot of veterans on that team that that showed us the way. But for me, being a defenseman as well, it was Helms. He was just so good at still talking to the young guys in a way that we could relate to. Fun. He wasn't mean or nasty in any way. It was he was just a really, really good leader, and everybody respected him for that. And you could tell even the other older guys looked up to Helms in that way. So it was just, it was that. We had other guys. Greg Amadio was good too. He was different than Helms was, but he was he had a good voice. He was a guy that was very very good rah-rah guy. Get everybody excited and amped up, and that his sacrifice that he brought to the game was, I think, something that I took away from it. After that, I turned into a player that sacrificed a lot more, my body, blocking shots, things like that, than maybe I did in junior. So that was something that I took away from him, which was really nice. And then up front, I mean, the list goes on. We had Alex Drew and Keith Acoin, and then Borky was my roommate. Yeah. So we had a team. It was pretty fun. But Helms was for sure the guy that drove that bus.
Awesome, good stuff to hear. Which team did you like of the two teams you were on? I mean, both were obviously Calder Cup champions, and each had their own different route to get there. But which one sticks out more? Was it 08-09 or 09-10?
It was probably 09-10, for a couple of reasons. One, I remember the season and the playoffs a lot more, than the year before. I think the first year was, a lot of it was a blur because it was my first year. I got hurt in the playoffs that year and with a concussion. And to be honest with you, don't even remember the majority of the finals. Like, I couldn't tell you details about it. It's kind of crazy how that happens. But, and I know our team was strong, but the next year, our playoff run was just ridiculous. I don't even know that there's been one that's quite like that. We won our first series and then had,
four straight overtime games against Albany.
Yeah, and then we won all four, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and then I think it was after that series where we had 13 days off in between series, which was insane. So
yeah.
We had a great coaching staff and was just like, well, I'm not going to keep you guys here and skate you. You guys might as well take some time off. Take 7 days. Do whatever you want. And so guys went home. I went to Florida, got a terrible sunburn, had a blast, came back, you went in the shower, everybody's backs are beet red. It was hilarious. We're like, middle of playoffs, we're on vacation.
Yeah. So
we come back and we win our next series. I don't know if you have the stats in front of you, but I think we won in five, maybe?
It was Manchester in six. I was at game two. I personally remember I was there, and then game six was Boyd Kane in overtime. Boyd came in overtime because you guys came back down 2-0. I think it was Patrick McNeil got the tying goal in that game.
Okay.
So, trust me, a lot of us fans remember that playoff run quite well.
Yeah. Well, the coolest thing about it that I thought was, after the, I guess it would have been the third round. Did we sweep another team in there in that playoffs?
The third round was Manchester, and then came
Manchester,
and then came Texas, the Texas Stars.
There was another time in that playoffs where we had another 10 or 11 days off, and the coaches said the same thing, like, go ahead, take five or so days off. And so we had a golf tournament, and we went to Fairview golf course there. And I remember we're all sitting around the final green, the 18th green. It's a par 3 elevated tee box.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever it was took a shot, and we're all waiting to see it. We kind of lose it. And Matthew Pro is just sitting in his golf cart. And sure enough, the ball comes and lands right on the top of his foot. It was like it couldn't have, and he had no shoes on. It couldn't have been any worse of a shot. And he was banged up. He could barely skate. I don't even know if he practiced for a few days after that.
Wow. And
so we were riding high. Like, we were feeling really good. I don't think we'd lost a game at home. PK was good, but then we're going up against Texas and Jamie Benn had been destroying teams.
Yeah, the power play on that squad was ridiculous. Like you said, Jamie Benn, Maxime Fortunis, and a lot of guys that would supplement the Dallas Stars roster for the next 3 to 4 years. I mean, these are guys like you couldn't name, but Dallas had their eyes on them. And especially with Manchester, a lot of fans didn't realize it at the time. A lot of players on that Manchester team would go on to become the backbone of the Kings Cups teams.
Yeah. There was a lot of good prospects that we had to play and get through. But once we finally got to that finals, we had had a pretty, a decently easy time in the playoffs at that point. And we were going on vacations and this and that. And then Texas comes in and takes the first two games from us in Hershey.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all looking at ourselves like, what just happened there? Like, no team has done that to us in a long time. And they beat us at home twice. Like, that's not right.
Right.
And so I know me and Carly had the task of trying to shut down Jamie Benn. And that was a lot of fun for us. So we felt excited that we had that job. And although they beat us, we know that Benny didn't get any points. And we're kind of like, okay, well, at least we have that going. We have him off the score sheet.
Right.
And so we get into Texas, and, because of our unbelievable leadership and the team that we had, we just said, like enough is enough. We're not doing this. We're going to play. We got three games in Texas. Let's play them hard. And we just went through the same motions that we always did. We played baseball before games and play soccer and have fun. And we go out there and we win three straight in Texas. And just kind of like, okay, that's the team right there. Here we are. So when we came back home for that last game, like, there was absolutely zero doubt whatsoever. And I'm pretty sure Jamie Benn chiseled an assist in that last game too, and it pissed me and Carly off because we're like, we almost got him, no points all series, and then finally he got one. But that season and that team just stuck out a little bit more to me because I felt like we knew we couldn't lose, and that's a really, really good feeling to have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you ask any modern Bears fan, and that's always, like, their team. Like, between the two eras of the Bears, there's the Old Barn and Giant Center era. The Old Barn era will always remember the 1988 team that went basically undefeated. But a lot of teams in this modern era will always remember the 09-10 team. If you don't mind me asking, back in Texas, was there like a real turning point for you guys, like during game three? You said there was like enough is enough. Like, what was that point? Like, was it between like periods one and two where you just said, we're going to go out there and we're going to beat these guys?
I think it even happened after game two where we were just like, we were shocked. I know it's hard to go back and remember exactly, but I would assume probably a little embarrassed to lose two at home in a building that we just didn't lose in very often. Mm-hmm. That was something that just didn't sit well with us, and the fact that we were having more fun in the playoffs than probably any other team, that we were kind of just like, we're not going to do that to this coaching staff either. Like, they trusted us and they gave us an opportunity to enjoy this whole process. Like, let's do something about it. And then it just started to click. Like, Texas was obviously was feeling good too. They were probably thinking that they were just going to walk all over us, and a lot of times when a team feels like that, they can be surprised and taken advantage of. And you didn't really want to have that feeling against the Bears. We were not a team to be taken lightly, and once we got our confidence in our groove, it was that was the end.
And definitely, I mean, you could tell the confidence was building all throughout those three games in Texas. And when you came back to Game 6 at Giants Center, like, was it sort of like an eye-opening experience to see Giants Center literally crammed to the rafters with 11,000 people in it and, like, literally hear the roar from that place when you came out and you were... Were you a bit starstruck coming out and just seeing so many people at Giants Center?
It was an amazing feeling. Like, at that point, I had played like 50 or so NHL games and got to see some really amazing buildings and amazing fans. And then to come out and have that, it seemed like we were in an NHL arena, you know, with how loud it can get in there. And you just know, like, it's hard to explain to people who haven't been there before, because, like, take Washington, for example. You have the Caps, you have the football team, you have the Nats, you have different sports there. You know, Hershey is kind of like the Bears, you know, like that.
Yeah.
That's the team. And so mm-hmm. you know how much this means to everybody there. And it's not just a cheer to cheer. It's a cheer because you love what's going on. Like, you actually love it. And that's something that I think we all really realized and didn't take lightly.
Besides the just drew a bit of a blank there for a second. Like, what else do you remember from that game six? Like, do you remember when you scored your goal from that game? Is that still in your head, or is just game six one big blur?
It was a little bit of a blur, and then we had a group meeting actually with all the guys, well, most of the guys from that team, and we rewatched the game, and so I got to see it again, and maybe 7-8 months ago, I had forgotten that I had scored in that game. you know, there's other things that consume you, and I'm not. Which is weird because I don't score a ton of goals, so you'd think I'd remember them all. But it was just one of those things where that wasn't really that important to me. I had two other missions that were more important. It was to win the game and to shut down Jamie Benn, and those are that's what I was more focused on than me scoring. But then watching it again, like, you could just see, like, we had so much energy that game, and we were buzzing, and so it was it was just really, really cool. Like, I would love to be able to have that same feeling and relive that, because it's the same thing. Unless you've experienced it, you can't really explain what it feels like.
No, and for a lot of Bears fans, it seems like that's the proverbial high tide moment for a lot of Bears fans, that we want to keep getting back to that type of feeling with that season, because you're right, it was such an amazing team that year, and it's one we're not going to see again with the way the current league setup is right now. So you obviously, you liked playing in Hershey, but what's another arena around the AHL that you liked going to on the road?
That I liked going to? I think the city that I liked going to was,
or city.
I liked going to Portland.
Okay.
I got to go there maybe once or twice, but I liked going there because I thought the city was really cool.
Okay.
I thought it was really unique. I liked being on the water there. You know, I'm from the Pacific Northwest.
Okay.
So the Pacific Northeast kind of has like a cool feel to me as well. It kind of makes sense to me. So I think that's probably why I like that. Trying to think, Providence. I actually really quite like Providence because I like the college town. I never went to college, so I never
right.
got to see what a college town is like and have that old feel, some cool streets down there. Even still, when I made it to the NHL, I'd always go and explore the cities I'm in just because I want to see what they're like.
Right.
You know, you only get to play for so long, and there's tons of cities I'll never go back to visit, so I always tried to explore as much as I could. But I would say probably Portland was the most fun I think it was actually the first place I ever had a breakaway too, out of the penalty box, and I didn't score. I remember that. Aww. So I remember Portland pretty good. So that was I'm going to go ahead and go with that as my number one. I mean, I played a couple of years in Laval, and Laval's got a really nice arena. If the team would be good, it would be a great place to to play in and play against. But yeah, overall, I mean, besides Hershey, it's got to be Portland for me.
Me and my crew, as I say, we travel around with the boys a couple times a year, and Providence is always a place we circle. Just like you said, it is a college town, but there's just a lot to do in that general Providence area. A couple more questions, and then we'll get you out of here. Which is a city you didn't like going to, and why is it Hartford or Wilkes-Barre?
That's pretty funny. I love that. I didn't actually mind going to Wilkes because it was a quick trip.
Two hours up, 2 hours back.
Yeah, and that's what I like. I mean, playing in that area, playing where Hershey is and even where the Caps are, like, it doesn't get much better than that. You want to – quick trips are great. You want to sleep in your own bed if you can, especially during the season. So I didn't really dislike that too much, but at the same time, that's kind of where you develop a hatred for a team, and they were good, and they were hard to play against. It was a kind of a love-hate relationship, I guess, with Wilkes, which I think is how it was for most guys. I didn't really like going to Bingo. I didn't like the building.
No, I didn't
really enjoy it a whole lot. I don't know why. Maybe because their team was really tough, and I lost a tooth in that building and just bad memories. So it was just one of those things where I didn't really enjoy it a whole lot. And then we played in Adirondack, too, when Adirondack was there.
The Phantoms.
The dressing room wasn't great. The hotel, I remember, wasn't that great. But it was just one of those places. I think me and Beegs actually got fined while we were there by the guys because we ate Subway the night before a game. And they're all telling us, this is pro hockey. You don't eat Subway the night before a game anymore. And me and Beegs would always laugh. We'd call it, when I say Beegs, I mean Jay Beagle, for anyone who doesn't know.
Right.
We'd call it per diem management. So you get your per diem when you're on the road, and it's like, I can't remember, it's maybe like $50 or something like that. They take out money for a meal.
Right, a stipend.
For like our pregame meals. Yeah, exactly. And so me and Beegs would always be like, okay, like this is how much we have. And Beegs is really frugal. He's good with his money. And he would always be like, okay, like this is how much we can spend on dinner. This is what we can do on that. And so we're like, okay, tonight's just a Subway night, you know, we're gonna $5 footlongs right now, we're gonna go home up $30 or whatever it is, you know. It was pretty funny. And so the guys ended up giving us a really hard time about that, so that $5 footlong ended up costing us probably like $100.
Jeez. So
it was not per diem management after all.
No, and I've heard travel stories from the guys, like when you'd go to Adirondack, there was a Burger King like right next door, and they would, and it's like, yeah, you park there so you can avoid parking fees there in Glens Falls, and it worked. You'd walk out of the game, you'd grab a Whopper, and away you go. Did you say you felt the rivalry with Wilkes-Barre? Did you feel the rivalry with the Philadelphia Phantoms in their last year of existence in 08-09?
Yeah, we did. That was it was one of the teams that it was a battle, you know, whether or not it was always close games or not. It was just a battle to play there. I don't know, something about playing in Philly too. It's just harder. I don't know.
Well,
what it is, but.
Well, I can tell you this, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms have reignited that old rivalry with Hershey. Like the spirit of that rivalry is definitely alive and well with those two teams. So that's definitely been back. So Carl, thank you so much for coming on, man. I'm humbled as a hack with a podcast that you've taken some time out of your day to come on and be on here. So I will give you a couple minutes if there's anything, you know, any website or anything you want to plug or anything, as we'll get you out of here on that. So the floor is thine. If there's anything you want to promote, go ahead.
Well, you know what? Actually, I don't really have a whole lot that I promote right now. I'm still kind of working on a few things right now. We're planning our move back actually to DC at the end of the summer, hopefully, if everything goes according to plan. And then my wife and my goal is to start a foundation once we're there, and hopefully that gets up and running like we hope it will, and try and help out a bunch of people. We tried to do as much as we could in the community while we were there, and we'd love to be able to help out a little bit more. So at some point there'll be something to plug, but in the meantime it's whatever you guys are doing. I'm happy to help out and try and relive some of the glory days.
Well thank you very much, man. Hopefully if you got some time over the summer, I might reach out to you again and get some more stories. I know Bears fans will always take a listen to any hockey stories from former players. So Carl, thank you very much. Thank you for coming on, and these stories were great. And as always, go Bears, and as the great Red Green has said, keep your stick on the ice.
Good stuff. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Go Bears.
Yep, go Bears. Thank you very much.
And that was former Hershey Bear Carl Alsner on my podcast, Above All Things. Thank you to him so much for coming on the show and actually having to deal with a slight reschedule, because a little peek behind the microphone, ladies and gentlemen, this interview was done on a Saturday, and originally this was going to be done last Thursday, and I was going to post this as a bonus episode for the week. But you see, what ended up happening was that I got my second vaccination shot. And Thursday, I just felt like absolute crap. I mean, you name it. I had the aches, I had the chills, I had the night sweats. That was fun. And I was just in no shape to do an interview. And I said, can we push this to Saturday? And he had no problem with it, even though there was a threat of kids running around. Hey, that did not happen, and we got a lot of good stuff out of him. So thank you very much to Carl Alsner for coming on. I've said that many times because I am just really grateful and humbled to have him on. So just some slight news from around the Bears this past week. One of the big news that dropped on Thursday afternoon, which was no real big surprise to anyone, the American Hockey League announced its postseason plans, or should I say, lack thereof. The North Division, which is what the Bears are in, shut up phone, the North Division, the Canadian Division, the Atlantic Division, and the Central Division will have no postseason hockey whatsoever. Whomever is leading the division at the end on May 16th, leading by percentage points, will be declared the winner this season and will be awarded said trophy. Now, I think the Bears are getting something like, I'm trying to find this on here, like the Clyde Schleich trophy or something like that. Let me just pull up old Patrick Williams. He always knows what's going on. And friend of the podcast as well. Alrighty. So it shows that all divisions will crown regular season champions based on point percentage. Only the Pacific Division will host a postseason. Let's see here. Let's see. No, I thought he had the names of the trophies. They don't. I do know that the Canadian Division is getting the Frank Mathers Trophy. And I'm like, hey. The original Bear, Frank Mathers, one of the original Hershey Bears, that trophy should be here with us. That's what should go to the North. You know, here's like the Colby Sykes trophy. Take that up to the Great White North. Take off, eh? As a television show once set up there. So there will be no postseason for the Bears. May 16th is it. Finito. The season finale. That's it, barring any rescheduling, with the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. And at this point, I'm not really sure if that's going to happen. Because as much as I hate to say it, you know, what's the point? I mean, as of right now, teams just want to get through the season. They've got 2 weeks left right now, probably a handful of games left, and we're pulling into the train station. So why delay it? Let's just get through this, which was the entire goal of this entire season that I said back in February, and Patrick Williams echoed this as well. The entire point and focus of the American Hockey League was get through this season and then focus on October. Or as I've heard Steve Zabin say, the 310 is getting to Yuma. And that's what we need to focus on. The train's pulling into the station and we're going to Yuma. And I'm getting on board. And I'm telling everyone here, I'm asking you to get on board with me because we're getting to Yuma. As the American Hockey League announced also this past weekend that the start of their next season will be Friday, October 15th. No word on schedules or who's going to be on opening night, but there's the destination. And you already have several teams across the league. Syracuse, I'm hearing rumblings out of Wilkes-Barre, and Zach said on this past Sunday's broadcast that Hershey anticipates having 100% no capacity restrictions by October. Now, whether that's going to happen, that remains to be seen. But to everyone, that's just what we got to focus on. Focus on October, and let's just finish out this season strong. And who knows, maybe celebrate a division championship. It ain't a Calder Cup, but it's something small. And let's focus on re-signing as much of this core back. Get Matt Molson back. Secure Connor McMichael for a full season of development down here in Hershey. If we got to share him with DC, so be it. So be it. See if Moggle will come back. And we will see what happens with the goaltending situation. Will Copley come back? Is Hunter Shepard the next in line to be the next Bears goaltender? And on defense, Reese Wilcox, Rob O'Gara, do they come back? Does O'Gara stay around? Or do we try to bring in more former Providence Bruins? And Pinho, Pilon, AJ, those young guns coming back. And Riott and Protas finally getting a full season underneath their belts. And Riley Sutter developing. And Brett Leeson. Oh, baby. This team... This stupid virus has robbed us of two legitimate chances at a Calder Cup. And now I feel like we could do that. But I'm rambling. I'm just telling everyone, let's just get through this and then focus on October. So that'll do it for the Grit and Barrett podcast for this week. Thank you to Carl Alsner for coming on. Thank you to you for your times, listens, and downloads. And just keep it going, everyone. We had a lot of downloads last week because we got the feed fixed on wherever you get your podcasts. So we're going to have a lot of good stuff moving forward. And once the Bear season ends, the fun doesn't end here. Because once the Bear season starts winding down more, we're going to jump into game over. I want to try and get some of those out within the next couple weeks. We're going to talk about Buffalo, New Jersey, Ottawa, Philadelphia, probably the New York Rangers soon, about all these teams and how it all went so wrong. Or for some teams, where did they go right? So, as Red Green once said, keep your stick on the ice, and we'll see you next time.
That's the end of the game.